50 years ago this week, the familiar sounds of the Detroit Red Wings playing at Olympia Stadium gave way to something completely different. That is the sound of 30,000 teeny boppers screaming for John, Paul, George, and Ringo. Somewhere under all of that, you can hear the Beatles playing Can't Buy Me Love. September 6th, 1964, the Beatles came to Michigan. They played two shows at Olympia Stadium. And my next guest was right there, watching and being part of Beatlemania unfolding in Detroit. Bob Green was a disc jockey on WKNR Keener 13, the legendary Detroit radio station that brought the Beatles to Olympia. Bob Green joins us now from Houston. It is good to hear your voice again, Bob Green.
Hello there, Cindy. Nice to talk to you today.
Bob, do you remember the very first time you heard the Beatles?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. And there's so many disc jockeys around the country who are claiming that I was first to play the Beatles. And I'm not sure that I was first, except for one thing. It happened in 1962. Before Keener, I was at WQAM in Miami, Florida. And I used to like to listen to shortwave radio when I'd go home sometimes. And I had the BBC on my shortwave radio, and they came up with this new song by a group called The Beatles. And I sort of was half listening. And it was Please, Please Me, by the way, was the song. Capitol had not yet, you know, put out the song that became the first American hit. But there was Please, Please Me. And I thought, gee, they have wonderful sound. There's something about that sound. And the next morning, I went into the station and looked through the junk file. We used to get all kinds of 45s in every day from somebody, and there it was. It was there. We hadn't noticed it. We hadn't seen it. And this was 1962. Let's see. I'm trying to think the end of the year. We played it on WQAM and got some pretty good reaction, and nobody had heard of the Beatles. So I'm not sure that I was necessarily first, but we were pretty early.
I would say that was definitely the vanguard. And then, of course, we went through all of 1963, and it was such a traumatic time in American history with the assassination of President Kennedy. And then the following February, America really discovered the Beatles. That February 1964, with the three consecutive Sundays, they were on the Ed Sullivan Show. Now, were you at Keener by that point, Bob?
Yes, by that time I was at Keener. We were getting set up for opening up Keener. Of course, it had been WKMH in Detroit. And they changed the call letters and decided to do what really had to be done at that point in Detroit radio. So we opened there. We really started on Halloween night of 1963.
And when did Keener start playing the Beatles?
Well, I'm trying to think. Remember, when Kennedy was assassinated, we had to stop everything and we had to start all over again. We became a news station for 4 days and then said, okay, we got to start the new format over again. And so we actually started Keener over again. At that point, probably within 2 weeks, we played the first Beatle record.
What was the listener reaction when you really started hitting it and hitting it hard, and particularly after people discovered the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show? What did you hear?
Well, of course, the demographics of the station were fairly young and a lot of females, and they certainly had a crush on these guys, the way they looked, the way they sounded. I think it took people perhaps a couple of months anyway, maybe more than that, to really determine that, hey, these guys, not only are they a phenomenon, but they also really have some interesting chords and interesting things that they do instrumentally. And, you know, it was discovered that they were more than just a fad. They were really something special.
And then through that summer, they made the movie A Hard Day's Night. And then it was time to get the Beatles out on the road and tour North America. Do you remember, Bob Green, what went on behind the scenes to get the Beatles to make Detroit part of their first tour?
I do, but I don't. I can't recall exactly, but I will say this, if it's part of what happened in Detroit, and that is, when it was all said and done, we were offered, and I won't even give the guy's name, but somebody dealing with our station was offered the possibility of bringing them, and we ended up giving it to somebody else who I don't recall who it was, but the station, even though we emceed the show and we were involved in the show, we did not bring in the group. But here's the interesting thing. When they came to Detroit, they came to the executive hangar at Metro Airport. The other stations in town, which were top 40, were WJBK, WXYZ, and CKLW. And here we had four rock stations playing the Beatles. But we were the only ones that came to that executive hangar. Everybody else went to the other side of the airport. So we were the only ones there to greet them when they came out of their airplane.
That is something. So here they land in Detroit, and I know that they came from Chicago, and the Detroit fans were waiting to out-scream the Chicago fans. Do I recall that they stayed at the Whittier Hotel on East Jefferson?
They did. You are correct.
Why not right downtown? Was it they wanted to keep those fans out?
We couldn't figure out why they stayed at the Whittier for many reasons. Didn't think it was that fancy of a place to stay. And as far as where they were, they had to have a police escort, you know, taking them to the concert. And so we really couldn't figure out exactly why. And I never did find that out. We did have someone traveling on their Flying Tiger airplane, though, by the name of Larry Kane. And Larry gave us reports every hour for several days. We got reports about we're here, we're doing this. John said this and Paul said that. And so we had that exclusivity there.
Now, they were escorted to Olympia. There were two shows with a press conference in between the two shows. And
right.
Where were you as the shows were actually going on, Bob Green?
We were backstage and I introduced them. For 1964, I introduced the Beatles. In 1966, on the return, Scott Regan introduced the Beatles. We were up there, as I recall, Ted Clark, Jim Jeffries, a couple of the other disc jockeys were up there talking for a while to sort of fill time. If you can imagine trying to fill time, people said, get the hell off the stage. We want the Beatles. But anyway, we did introduce them, and we were backstage, and we had had a contest on WKNR to have two winners backstage to meet the Beatles. This is one of the little stories about the Beatles. And we had two winners, two young gals, you know, getting them backstage to meet the Beatles. And one of our competitors, WXYZ, had a new disc jockey at that time named Joey Reynolds. And Joey got on the air, and we heard it. At that time, I was very possessive of our station. Nobody dares to say something about us that's not true. And he was saying, it'll never happen. Keener cannot get you backstage because they won't allow it. And he was talking to some girl on the east side of Detroit where our signal wasn't so good. And I remembered her name. And the next morning, I thought, I've got to call that girl. And I think I'll invite her to come backstage to meet the Beatles, even though that was, you know. But anyway, we finally did find out who she was. And she indeed was the third person who I took backstage. And that area of town that we were so weak in because of our signal at WKNR, suddenly the new ratings came out, and boy, did we have that east side of Detroit covered because it got out that we did this for this girl.
So. Tell us, what were John, Paul, George, and Ringo like, especially as you bring these young fans back, because this was all right. New to them.
Right, exactly. You know, they were so much like what people thought they were like in the beginning. You take John, rather acerbic. Obviously, hey, this guy's got a pretty good brain. This guy's pretty sharp. But he always had something a little bit acerbic to say. Then you would take Paul, and Paul was just so outgoing and so funny and smiling all the time and interested and you know, available to say, hi, how are you, shake hands, whatever. Ringo, quite quiet, didn't have a lot to say at that time. And then, of course, George was the quiet Beatle, who, of course, we discovered later was also quite a bright and brilliant musician, certainly. But he was quite, you know, quiet. So really, the guy who came to the forefront as far as anybody meeting him would have been Paul McCartney, because Paul was very outgoing.
And isn't it something that hasn't changed?
No.
I'm speaking with Bob Green. He's my guest today on Stateside. And in September 1964, Bob was there emceeing. He was a disc jockey for WKNR Keener 13, the Detroit area station, and he was the MC to introduce the Beatles as they came to Olympia for their first Michigan appearance, two concerts 50 years ago this week. In between the shows, there was a press conference. Let's listen to a bit as Detroit reporters meet the Fab Four.
So far. Great.
Well,
we've seen very little. The show we enjoyed.
Thanks.
No, we come here to play, not to see.
Yeah, guys, which artist or musical group do you think has most influenced your music?
Nicky Cuff,
Nicky Cuff, I'd say. No, American colored groups, mainly, and early Elvis Presley.
In fact, the Detroit sound.
When Elvis was
in fact, yes.
In fact, yeah. Tamla Motown artists are our favorites. The Miracles, the Impressions, Marvin Gaye,
Tam,
Mary Wells,
the Excitement,
Major Lance, to name but 80,
Chuck Jackson.
Haven't a clue. Don't mind, you know.
Probably won't last that long, though, will it?
No.
That's something when he gets asked, how long do you think it'll last? And John said, haven't a clue. And Bob,
haven't a clue. Well, that's right.
When you look back from that perspective of 50 years, you know, you think about, these were four youngsters. I looked it up. John was 23, Paul 22, Ringo 24, George was just 21.
Yes.
We don't generally recognize watershed moments when we're in the moment. Would you have thought that 50 years later they are still true music icons?
Well, you know, I don't want to say, oh, yes, of course I knew. Now, none of us knew for sure, but certainly we knew that musically they had something very, very special. And it's funny, within 6 months of the Beatle concert, we emceed the Rolling Stones, and in my infinite wisdom, I looked at everybody and said, you know, I don't think these guys will ever last. So it goes to show you that we didn't always cut it. We didn't always realize what we were dealing with. But I think when it comes to the Beatles, we knew that no matter how long they did or did not last, the music, you know, would certainly be around as great golden oldies. And I think it's a lot more than that, obviously, but at least that much. Their music is just too good. They have too many interesting things that they put into it, and I think they're going to last. So that's the way I felt.
Well, we were actually all talking about this story over the weekend that I was going to be talking with you, and someone wondered how many of today's young breakout stars will have people talking this way about them a half a century later. I mean, it's hard to know.
Absolutely. Of course, I can't claim to know a heck of a lot about today's music. I don't follow it the same way I did then.
Well, just to show how times have changed, did I read correctly that the show, each of these two shows, was 20 minutes long?
25. You're right, it was close to 20. It was a little over. I think it was 25, but whatever. A few more minutes here or there. Yeah, but then on the other hand, if you've seen any of the tickets for the show, I mean, the big super good seats were $6, and then you could have $3 for a seat that's back a little further.
And I just have to go on record now as saying that my mother wouldn't let me go. I was in sixth grade, a new sixth grader, and they said no, just no.
Yeah.
And I know Barbie De Palma up the street got to go, and my mother has been in heaven for a few years, but she still has some explaining to do someday as to why she didn't let me go to that. But it is interesting when you think about $5-6 for that top ticket. I have another full disclosure, Bob Green. I was one of the Keener faithful. And my first time ever on the radio was playing Keener DJ football on your show in 1965.
Oh,
I won a $10 check, and I couldn't have been more thrilled. So thank you for the memories and for Keener and all you did. And
well, you did better than a Keener ballpoint pen. Of course, the losers got a pen. And sometimes the pen was worth more than the prize. But
so one final question, Bob Green. Do you have a favorite Beatles song?
Oh, that's really tough. There are so many. I think one song that I enjoy a lot, that I liked, and it was a song that they did not play at concerts by nature of the instrumentation. It had violins and whatever in it. And I think that would be Eleanor Rigby.
That was a beauty. That was indeed.
Yeah.
Bob Green, wonderful to talk with you. Thank you very, very much for sharing these wonderful memories from 50 years ago.
Thank you so much.
Bob Green was a disc jockey on WKNR Keener 13, and he was on stage introducing the Beatles as they came to Olympia Stadium in Detroit 50 years ago this week.